Praise God. It's a privilege to bring God's word and to actually speak the very words of God. I think it's the most privilege of all privileges ever in all of the world. You know that God speaks to us and God wants to speak to us. And I really felt that during the week. I really felt the Lord saying, tell them to listen. You know? And I include myself in that. Listen. You know, and God wants us to listen, you know, to Him and what He's saying and what His Word is saying to us. So, Father, we just want to thank You that we can come together as one in Christ, Lord. Father, we want to thank You that we are Your people, that we are Your children, oh God. And, Father, I just declare Your Lordship over this place, Lord, over every person, Father, even over my own life, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that Your Word will go forth, Lord. Into each heart, Lord. I pray for a stillness in this place, Lord. And Father, I declare Your Lordship in Jesus' name. Amen. The story, or should I say, the topic of this series has been, what's the story? And the sermon today, the topic I've picked is, the story is blessed assurance. Have the assurance of God. Knowing who God is, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, knowing that your sin is forgiven, knowing that God is in control and that He's in control all of the time. You know, He said, the Word of God says, Jesus, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when God comes into your life, He comes into all of your life, you know, and He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when God is for you, who can be against you? And God is for us. God is for each one of us. So the first point I want to look at is, the story is, your sin is forgiven. And I'm going to look at the story of Lazarus. In John 11, just if any of you want to keep notes or anything like that in your own time. But the first scripture I want to look at is Lazarus. And it says, Jesus, John 11, 38 to 43. And that's where I'm going to read from. It says, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a grave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and clothed around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And I was thinking of Lazarus. Lazarus is in a dark place. He was in a tomb. He was lost. He was without hope. He was dead. And there was no hope for Lazarus unless Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he spoke into the darkness. He spoke into death itself. And it reminded me of when God created the earth and there was darkness over the deep and deep darkness. And God spoke and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And light came into the darkness. And that's what Jesus has done. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When he came, he said, I am the light of the world. And all men were in darkness. So when Jesus spoke into that, into death itself, he called Lazarus forth. He called him out of darkness. He called him into the light. He called him into life itself because he was dead. Lazarus' real problem, he said he died of a sickness. But the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is life in Christ Jesus, is eternal life. So Lazarus' real problem was his sin. That's what brought him to the grave. It was nothing else. I just recently had tonsillitis. And out of that, I had a fever. I had a sick stomach. I had a lot of other things. But the main problem was my tonsillitis. And it wasn't Lazarus' sickness that brought him to the grave. It was his sin. Because the Bible says, as I said, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. Just give me a sec here. In Galatians 3:22, it says, but the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what had been promised, being given through faith in Christ Jesus, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. And I was thinking of people on death row. I was thinking of people in prisons. You know, you see them on the telly, especially in America, they're all in their orange jumpsuits and they have a number on them. And they're going for the death penalty. And you know what? Each one of us, there was a death penalty over our life. But Jesus came in. See, he was the only one that could open that prison door and bring us into eternal life. There was no one else, past, present, or future, that has ever rose from the dead, that has defeated death. Each one of us are blessed unbelievably because of what Christ has done. You know? That's why Paul the Apostle, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul knew on numerous occasions that he was going to be whipped, beaten, rejected, put in prison, mocked, despised, and nothing stopped him. Because the eyes of his heart was open to who Jesus was and what he had done. That he was the Christ, that he had died, that he had rose again, and that he sitting at the right-hand side of the Father, and that he made intercession for him. And that's what God has done for each one of us. He has took us out of the grave, literally. We're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we're born again of an imperishable seed. That we're, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance to come. So God has put his deposit on each one of us in Christ Jesus. Zechariah, we always get them mixed up. Zechariah 3. Clean garments for the high priest. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem will rebuke you. Is this man not a burning stick snatched from the fire? Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing by, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, and this is very important, he said, see, I have taken away your sin and I have put fine garments on you. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you a place among them standing here. Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. And it really hit me that. He says, listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, who are symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have put in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that stone. And I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord. And I will remove the sin of the land in a single day. And it's a real picture of what Jesus has done. Jesus came and he removed the sin, not just of the land of Israel, but of the whole world. You know, and he was talking about, these are men symbolic of things to come. Because we were all unrighteous. We were all guilty. We all had stained clothes on us until God comes and sent his son on behalf of each one of us. You know, and this is a thing to rejoice about, because God has given his son. It's never condemnation. He'll always come in love and compassion. Ephesians 2, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incorruptible riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. I was just thinking of that. Simon was talking about the gift of seeing his children's faces, you know, this morning. And there's so much in that. It says that we were all dead in our transgressions and our sins, but we had been made alive again in Christ. That God called us out, that he chose us, that he set us apart, that he handpicked us by name, each one of us. And that's what he has done on our behalf. But when I come back to thinking, you know, it's a gift of God. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't do anything for it. But that God has called us. He has chosen us. He has chosen to show his kindness, his compassion, his love. And God's heart hasn't changed. You know, recently I was just seeing, to be honest, I've seen thousands and thousands of people worshiping the Lord. I had a picture. And what I was seeing was chairs continuously. It was like a conveyor belt being pushed out into the middle of the floor all the time. See, that's God's heart. God wants to bring all into the knowledge of the truth. Every single person. And even before the meeting, the Lord showed me a key. You know, and as a body, you know, what come into my heart. It's funny the way the Lord speaks if we're willing to listen and open to listen. The Lord said, I'll give you a brand new convoy harvester. I believe this is for the church. You know, that we're all different parts of a machine, but we're one machine. And you know, when we're operating, I remember Jay bringing a word a long time ago about oil and about an engine, something like an engine, and it was all the different parts were working in sync, but there was oil flowing through it. You know, and that's what God wants to do with his church. He wants to pour his oil out through his church, through his people, because he wants every single person to come into the knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus. And only recently, and this is how important this is, I work in the homeless sector, and just recently two people, probably 40, 42 years of age, and one after another, actually the two of them died on the same day, and horrific, but being battered through addiction and through life. And but you know what? They gave their life to Jesus. They asked Jesus into their life. And God, you know, sometimes we wear the wrong glasses. God's heart is for the broken and the broken of the broken. No matter how much they're on the ground, no matter how many times they've sinned, God's heart is always to put his hand out and pick them back up and say, come on, into the kingdom, into the glory. Because his heart is for the brokenhearted. His heart is for the crippled, the lame, the blind, the deaf. Because he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know where they're going. They're lost. And you think of Nineveh even, and he says, they don't know their left hand from the right hand. And he was talking about people. I can do like that without the help of God. And that's the truth. We love you, Lord. More than conquerors. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? And this is for each one of us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, and is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for each one of us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be ever able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what God has extended to each one of us. We can't be separated from him. We cannot be separated from him. And even that life nor death. Death can't separate us. Death can't separate us from the Lord. I'm going to be honest here. I'm coming to the church 12 years. Gave me life to the Lord. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. The Lord gives me visions, dreams, as he does many others here. Probably is all. Because he doesn't just give it to one, he gives it to us all. He's not a father like that. They'll just give it to one child, they won't give it to the next. But I wasn't well a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. Nearly getting Niamh to call an ambulance. She was breaking her laughing at me. I was in bits. Puking me guts up. But I'll tell you about the goodness of God, even in them circumstances. She's right, like a baby. But in any way, I was at home. I'll get emotional now here. I had a dream, and I don't even know if I'm being honest, was it a dream or a vision? Because it wasn't well. But in any way, there was this man kneeling down before Jesus in the dream. I don't know if they share this part of it. But he was from another faith. And it wasn't Christ. And I seen this thing opening up underneath him. And he just fell down through it and he was lost. He was gone. And then I had another vision. And in the vision, I was kneeling before the Lord. I knew it was the Lord. He was just white. You couldn't see his face. I just knew it was Jesus. And he took me up by the two hands so gently and lovingly and caringly. And he walked me up into heaven. And that is the truth before God. And that's what God, sometimes God gives you an assurance. You know, we all have different needs. But God speaks through his word. He speaks through visions. He speaks through dreams. He will just speak an audible word into your heart when we listen. And he's no different. He's no respecter of persons. He wants to speak to each one of us. He wants to download things into our lives for his purpose and for his plan. And what a beautiful thing. You know, I cried. And that's being honest. I cried and I was like, I used to always think, what would it be like? And it just gave me that bit of comfort. I knew I was saved. But I used to always think, jeepers, what would it be like when I meet the Lord, you know? But he's so gentle and loving. So he washed the disciples. That's the type of God we serve. He's creator of all things. And yeah, he comes down and washes feet. You know, that's who he is because he loves us. The next point is walking with God and walking through things with God in order to take the old off and put the new on. And the story I want to look at is Jacob wrestles with God. You know, and sometimes I've found myself in different times wrestling with God. You know, I don't know, I just feel to say this. The Lord says, it could be for everyone, it could be for what. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Jacob wrestles with God. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the fort of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overcome him, he touched the socket of his hip, so that his hip was wretched as he wrestled with the man. Then he said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Then the man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will be no longer Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared." And it was a great story of Jacob wrestling with God. He said he overcame. You know, he held on to God no matter what. And that's, I believe, you know, we have our pastor Noel, we have Sharon, we have Louise, we have Jay, Adele, we have lots of people here. And we could go on right through the congregation. But we have people with longevity. We have people that no matter what comes, hell or high water, that they're walking through it. It's like Isaiah 43. No matter what comes at us, that God is with us and God is for us. And I think when you have an understanding of that, that you won't let go, no matter what. Because when you know that God is for you, who can be against you? You know, and I want to just honor, and I mean that, like my pastor, Noel and Sharon, the Ways. I just think, you know, we're here in the city today. There's another congregation in Cundalkin. There's another congregation in Bray. There's many people are in the kingdom of God today because of the work. Yeah, it's God. Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's the Lord who brings people in. But it's because of the faithfulness of our leaders and people that have plowed and people that have dug and people that have sowed seed right through the years. So, Father, we just want to thank you for them, oh God. And we bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. The next scripture I'm going to is 2 Kings 5, Nahum healed of leprosy. And we looked at Jacob, and his life was transformed. He got a new name, and he was persevering with God, and he held on to God. So now Nahum was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master. And he was highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aman. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now just thinking of that, he had great victories. He was highly esteemed. He was a man of God that God was using, but he had leprosy. There was something wrong with him. And leprosy probably would have had him isolated, would have had him not moving into his full potential in who he was and what he was. And you know, there's different things in all of our lives sometimes that can, there can be hurts, there can be hang-ups, there can be habits that we just struggle with. And, you know, we can think, "Am we ever going to get over this?" But God is faithful. He brings us through all of the time, through every circumstance. I'll read the rest of this. It's verse 2. It says, "Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Nahum's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.' Nahum went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. 'By all means, go,' the king Aman replied. 'I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So Nahum left taken with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel said, "With this letter I am sending my servant Nahum to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of this leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a fight with me." When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Nahum went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him to say, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored. You will be cleansed." But Nahum went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand there and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy." We'll just stop there. For a good while, that was the story of my Christian walk. For a few years, especially at the start, I used to go to every meeting going, and I'd come up and I'd get prayer at the altar. And I was looking for someone to just wave their hand over me and I'd grow perfect and start walking perfectly with the Lord. But the instruction that he was given, he had leprosy, he had something that was holding him back. But he was told to go wash in the river. And he says, "Go wash in the river 7 times. And it was like he couldn't grasp it. The word of God was after being sent to him through the prophet to go wash in the river. And he wanted to do it some other way. He wanted to, you know, it goes on and says, I'll just finish it here. "But Nahum went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of this leprosy. Are not Arabia and Paralia, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel?" And he was looking at other things. Would I not be better off doing this? Would I not be better off going there? I remember, and this is not to undermine anything out in the world or anything like that, but I remember I was living in Ballyferma and I was about to go to a counselor. And I was like, I need to go to someone to talk to, you know? And the Lord spoke to me very clearly on the chair. He says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer." And the Bible also says that the Holy Spirit is the counselor. He's the comforter. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it, but I tell you what, there's nothing like getting with God's people and have the counsel of the Holy Spirit and that are praying and that have a counseling session with them, because you get the wisdom of God and you get the insight of God. So listen, if you want counseling, if you want home to God's people, there's loads of meetings here in the church. I know I've gone back there not too long ago. I'm trying to think of the name of the groups now. We were doing the growth groups. And I have to say, I was so blessed. I really was, you know, so blessed to be part of it and to see other people around me growing and imparting and coming out with gems. Everybody inputting, you know, each person. And it was just amazing to see it. But even in this, you know, thinking, you know, he was told to go down to the river and wash. And as people of God, you know, there's a river that flows. It flows through each one of us. You know, each one of us is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the next section I want to look at is the river flowing from the temple in Ezekiel 47. It says, "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and then I saw water coming from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the temple faced east, and the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around outside to the other gate, facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. Excuse me. And then he led me through water that was ankle deep. And just to listen to this, he said he was led through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was up to the waist. And he measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that could not be crossed because the river had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This river flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabia where it enters the Dead Sea. Where it empties into the sea, the salt water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because the river flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore." It goes on, "and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds of the Mediterranean." And I was just thinking, you know, there's a lot in that. And it talks about the river flowing from the temple. And it talks about the increase and the increase and the increase. And that's where I believe God wants to open up in each one of our lives. He wants to increase his presence in our life. He wants to increase by the Spirit of God, that he wants to uncap nearly things in our lives, that we don't have to be holding on to the bar, but that we can swim in the river. I'm just looking down at Sandra, she's a swimming instructor, and I was thinking when I was younger, I remember in school, and remember when I started to swim first, and I used to hold on to the bar, and for dear life. I was thinking, if I go out into that river, I'm probably going to drown or whatever, you know. But after a while, you'd hold on and you'd put your feet out and you'd start kicking, you know. And then you'd hold on with one hand and then you'd get a little pad thing that held you up as you kick going up and down the swimming pool. And you grew more confident all the time. The more you stepped out, the more you done, you realize that God is faithful and that he's, you know, whether that's praying with someone for the first time or whether that's getting up here and preaching. To be honest, my stomach was like a washing machine before I got up here. And that's being honest, you know. It's not like I've been made like this, like I'm growing. You know, God has spoke to me about it. But I'm growing, so I'm no different than anyone else here. Whatever God has called you to, it doesn't mean I'm not nervous. It doesn't mean I get up here and just float up. And, you know, it just means that I'm the same as everyone else here. But that God has chosen me, God has called me, and God has chosen and called each one here. He has a plan, he has a purpose for your life. So, you know, just want to look at, it really hit me heart as well. This talks about dedication of the temple. It's in 2 Chronicles 7, and I'm nearly there now. It says, "When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests would not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, 'He is good and his love endures forever.' Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle, 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. The priests took their positions." And that really hit me when I was reading that. The Bible says that we're priests, that we're ordained of God. Each one of us, regardless of what we even think ourselves, the Bible says that we've been called, we've been chosen that were priests and were ministers of God. And what does that mean? That we have the Spirit of God living in us and works through us, and that we can carry out the work of God. That He's given each one of us a toolbox, in a sense, to do the work that He's ordained us to do. You know, none of us is on the outside looking in, you know, but we're on the inside looking out. You know, each one of us, He's called you. You know, I had no education. I was up with my mother's yesterday, and I was under 11 years of age. I was locked in my headmaster's office for being my behaviour in school. I get out the window. This is how lost. Even don't mind drink, drugs, this, that and the other. I ran away from home before 11 years of age. Slept in a cement mixer. A little cement mixer. Put cardboard around the thing. It's funny as well. I remember saying to someone recently yesterday, we were scutting on the back of a van. And anyway, this fella, I won't say his name, Jay knows as well, he's from Pundalkin. And his dad and my stepfather were in the van, and we were on the back of a scutting, and we're at to be there for over a night. So anyway, the father comes around, he's about 6'6" or something. He's like a tank. Well, he hear him a clatter. You could have heard it in town. We were out in Pundalkin. I met him going back about a year ago. Probably more than that, actually. I was working on CASP at the time. I was just, do you remember your old dad gave you that clatter? Well, he just looked at me. It just didn't go down well, you know. There was loads of hurt there, and I was like, I thought it was real funny, but it wasn't. But, you know, that's where I was at when I was a kid, when God is a healer. So, you know, the priests took their positions, as did the Levites, with the Lord's musical instruments, which King David had made for praising the Lord, David's heart, and which were used when he gave thanks, saying, His love endures forever. Opposite the Levites were the priests who blew their trumpets, and all the Israelites were standing. Solomon consecrated the middle part of the courtyard in front of the temple of the Lord, and there he offered burnt offerings and the fat fellowship offerings, because the bronze altar he had made could not hold the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat offerings. I know that's a lot of different stuff, especially if you're new in the church. But the whole message of that is that Solomon was given everything. He was saying, do you know what? And I know he said it in Ecclesiastics. He says everything is meaningless. He had all the money that you could want. He had all the buildings. He had all the property. He had everything. But he realized there was nothing. It's like Paul, he said, I consider all things rubbish that I may gain Christ. He realized that God was greater than everything else. And that to have God in your life, you can have all the money. What the Bible say? You can have all of the world. What good is if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Jesus knew the importance of eternal life. You know, we're only traveling through here. Yet there's a work for us to do. But I tell you what, when we're in Christ, we're unbelievably blessed. When we know that God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who created all things, had came as a man in Christ, came flesh, went to the cross, took all of our sin upon him, that we would have his righteousness, that we would be his children. It's mind-blowing. There's no other word for it. But just back to the temple. You know, I went into Ezekiel talking about the river flowing from the temple. And that's in the Old Testament. And then Solomon talks about the dedication of the temple. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, God is saying that each one of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus. We belong to God. I'm just going to finish here. This is the last scripture. John 7, 39. And this is Jesus. It says, now the last day the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, and this is amazing, from his innermost being will flow. He didn't say trickles. He says rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So guys, you know, it says there, out of your innermost being, rivers will flow. You know, and I was thinking of Nahum even. You know, he was at, Elijah told him to go down to the river and dip 7 times. Each one of us is carrying a river. And I'm working in the Salvation Army. God wants to release rivers because people need to be dipped into them. You know? And, you know, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And I had a song. I woke up during the week there and I'm trying to think of that song now. Sing it. It says, I'll sing a little bit. How was your voice? It says, Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. And what the Lord was saying to me, when I went into work that day, 7 or 8 people come up to me and asked me for prayer. I didn't go near none of them. I was walking up corridors. Will you pray for me? People coming out of places, will you pray for me? And what the Lord was saying, be still. Be still. Because when we're just being in Him, He is doing it all. It's Him. And I know we know these things. I really believe, you know, I'm going to give the mic to our pastor now and see what, you know, the Lord wants to do. But just that, you know, we're in a great place, guys. I know, don't get me wrong, we go through different things and all, but He has us in the palm of His hand. No matter what you're going through, He has us. So praise God. So Father, guys, just stand up. Guys, I'd ask you to respond. You know, we'll be up here to pray. I'm going to hand it over to our pastor now.
Hey, man. Well done, Jay. Give him up. Give it up for Jay. Hey, man. I actually thought Jason was going to say that guy said, I can still hear the clatter. That's what I thought you. Jason brought so many scriptures, so much of God's richness of His word. I felt at times just the washing over me. But the thing is He said at the beginning, listen to God. Listen to God. Can you play something, Samantha, on your own? I don't know where Simon is. Let's respond to God. Let's just respond. Jesus, there's just so much there. Why even open me mouth? I'm going to start preaching. Rivers of water. Being healed. Bandages taken off of us. Things that just bring death and the stench of death. Being taken into the river of God. Being the different increase of God. There's just so much. Just you respond to God. You know what God said to you. You know what landed on you. Say, God, can I have that today? Can I have that now, Father? Father, I receive from you right now. I receive that I'm a walking, talking river carrier of God. I receive, Lord God, as I am still and know that you're God, that you will work out what needs to be worked out, that you will attract those who need to be attracted to me, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Just put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you. If you're new for the first time, don't get freaked. Don't freak them out, guys. Just put hands on the shoulder. We're just going to pray a blessing. We're going to ask God to give us all that we've heard this morning. The increase. The release. Here's the beauty of it. The river is in us, but God wants to get it out of us. It's in us, but he wants it to get it out of us. It says in that passage that everywhere that river touches, it brings to life. Every dead thing that river touches, life comes to that dead thing. That's what he wants to get it out of us in our workplace, in our family, in our community, in our city, in our nation. To one another. Here's a bit of water that's going to bring life. You'll never thirst again, never want again. We never need again in that area of our lives when the river touches it. So Lord, we pray for one another, Lord, and we just simply say, let the river of God come. Let the river of God be released. Let the river of God go from us, out of us, through us to others, oh God, to our brothers and sisters this morning, Lord. We don't have to have fancy words, Lord. All we want to say is we need you, and we need the life that comes from you, Lord Jesus. And you promised that out of our bellies will come rivers of living water. We love you, Jesus. We bless you, oh God. For every dead cloth, oh God. Every bandage, oh God, that represents death around us, oh God. Lord, we untangle it this morning, oh God. We take it off of our hands and our feet and our eyes, oh God. We take it off of our heads, oh God, just bandages, Lord God, the bandages, bondage, oh God. We take it off of us, oh God. It began to shake, the storm was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. You know, later on, well, in the next couple of minutes, Sharon and I will be leaving to go to Carlow to officiate a wedding. And I've two prayers to pray over the couple, but I want to pray over us. Amen? So you just want to close your eyes and just, however which way you can, quiet yourself to receive this blessing of God. This is a prayer from Francis of Assisi. He says, Lord, make us a channel of your peace, that where there is hatred, that we may bring love, and where there is hurt, that we would bring the spirit of forgiveness, and where there is doubt, may we bring faith, and where there is despair, may we bring hope, and where there is darkness, may we bring light, and where there is sadness, may we bring joy. And St. Patrick prays this prayer, and I pray this over us all. Christ be with you. Christ within you. Christ behind you and Christ before you. Christ beside you. Christ to win you. Christ to comfort you and to restore you. Christ beneath you. Christ above you. Christ in quietness. Christ in danger. Christ in the hearts of all that love you. Christ in the mouth of friends and the mouth of strangers. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you. And he grant you shalom. And we say amen and amen. Hallelujah, Lord.